This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
Hey, yo, let me tell you that Pepsi Mango is so good. I use it as a reward to do things that I was going to do anyway. Like, I'd be sitting around the house like, man, if you mop the floors, you can have one more. Bet, I'm on it. Like, that's how good Pepsi Mango is. Hey, for real, Pepsi, I don't think enough people know about this. We can make it happen. Cut the check.
What is TWS podcast, episode whatever, who cares at this point?
Bar.
The rant, the vindicated.
It's my podcast and I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still alive?
It's not working for me, Rip. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
When's ready.
I feel like the Neanderthal.
Staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, ready.
I burn through your argument with action. My eyes stay fastened to tomorrow, looking for a brighter day. When you wanna leave, y'all
right away.
Shout it out from east, west,
south to northern,
the Cadillac
to California,
from the coldest
to the warmest,
to the borders,
across the waters.
Understand
and know that I'm loved.
Yeah, we got love in the place. Yeah. Shout out to all the queens,
all the seeds,
to all the teams,
getting cream
from out line
to end scenes.
Make it happen.
Do your thing.
Understand
and know that I'm loved.
Illest MC in the atmosphere. Anyway, welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I'm your boy J.D. Flan, representing the White Pants Society, and I must thank you first and foremost for, you know, spending a little bit of your day to come chill with me, hear what it is I have to say, talk about some things, get some shit out, whatever it is we do here. You could be anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me, and I greatly, greatly appreciate that. Let's just get into it. Might be a long episode. I'm trying not to hold y'all too long, but I talk a lot. Chef Elise.
Out of Pepe.
It's my off week with the chef. You know, I didn't get my visit, or I didn't get a visit. I'm going to get my visit next week. But I just wanted to update y'all on the book fair goings on. Elise cleaned up at the book fair. She did a great job. She got several books. I think she had to be encouraged to do it because she's like her dad and she's a little cheap, and she might have gone in there like, you know, trying not to spend money and talking herself out of buying stuff. But she had like $70 or whatever in the e-wallet for the book fair. I never had $70 for a book fair in my life, but you could probably add them all up and I ain't have $70, but she had $70. She spent it all. Her mom ended up having to put some extra in there on the last day so she could get one more book. So, I got sent a picture of the hall. Nice hall. She got some nice books. We'll have some things to talk about next time I see her so I can find out how these books went down. Like, what's these books about? It was one with, like, a cake and a monkey or something. And it was like, what's in that box? I got to find out what's in the box. It's cake and a monkey. Like, got to be an interesting book. But anyway, yeah, that's my Chef Elise update for the week.
Out of Pepe.
Man. So today it almost slipped past me. Well, it did slip past me because I didn't realize it on the day it happened. But I did realize that today, as of the recording of this episode, I am 1,002 days sober. Man, that's crazy. 1,000 days. Never really, one of the hardest parts about, you know, getting sober was the idea that I could never drink again. And like, you know, having to get rid of the thought that I just needed to spend some time sober, you know, getting my shit together, getting my life back under control. And then at some point, you know, I could dabble again because I would be, you know, in a position where I could control it. I had to kind of learn that, you know, it is out of my control, and to not be thinking about the rest of my life and just be thinking about today. And that's how, I guess, 1,000 days slipped past me, because I don't even think about the time passing in terms of how long I've been sober. It's just, you know, staying sober today. So it definitely caught me off guard. What actually hit me to it was I saw a Facebook friend of mine post that he was 1,000 days sober today. And I didn't even realize, like, our birthdays were that close together. Birthdays being our sober days. I didn't realize we was that close together. So I saw it on Facebook, and that's what made me go. They got an app. It's called like Sober Grid. And I guess I could have just Googled how many days has it been since, you know, February 15th, 2018, and it would have told me. But Sober Grid has an app, and it calculates how much money you've saved, all that kind of stuff. According to it, I've saved $21,000 by kicking my habit. I don't know where it's at, but hey, I was spending a lot. But yeah, I saw his post, and so I went in Sober Grid, and you know, just to check, see how many days I had, because I knew I was close, and it told me I was at 1,002. And then I didn't want to like post it on Facebook after the fact. Like I ain't want to be the dude that's like step on his day. Like, you know, your man posts, I'm 1,000 days sober. Oh, cool. I'm 1,002. Like I didn't want to be that guy. So I kept it off Facebook. I think I dropped something on Twitter, you know, just to celebrate the accomplishment. It's a weird space because I think I'm away. I used to drink to try to be cool. Like I used to drink to try to lower my inhibitions so I could be myself and like be funny and outgoing and like talk to people. And I think I'm way more of that now than I ever was drunk. I can never find like the right level of intoxicated that I was like not me, but not obnoxious or not doing crazy shit, disappearing or passing out, all that kind of stuff. And these are not worries I have these days. So yeah, I just wanted to mention that 1,002 days, crazy. As far as this podcast, the topic for this podcast, it's not that. I thought I had a topic. I thought I had something lined up that I wanted to do that I was kind of excited about. Like I felt I had something to say. I listened to a friend's podcast, and I mean, I hope we still friends. Hope we still cool. I listened to her podcast, and then I mentioned like responding to her show. Cause y'all know I'm a sensitive ass nigga, and I did a whole show about it. You can go check it out. But when I saw her reply, I realized that maybe me saying I was going to respond to the show may have rubbed her the wrong way. You know, her show was basically, you know, her thoughts about a situation or a phenomenon, you know, specific to her demographic that I really didn't have a place having an opinion about or expressing an opinion about. You know, I think I'm welcome to have my opinions, but this wasn't really an issue that I needed to speak on because it wasn't my issue. What could I say about how another group does something or whether or their feelings or thoughts behind what it is they do or don't do? That's not my place. And it definitely wasn't my intent when I said I was going to respond to the show to like rebut her thoughts about, you know, why she does or doesn't do what she does. Really wasn't my intent. So I hope, you know, that's not what came across. I try to keep like this show to I statements. Like I really hate shit in the world right now that comes across like preachy or woke. Like I hate woke. I hate it. I did a whole show about that too. You can check that one out. And so I really thought like long and hard since, you know, we had that conversation about how I could do this show. Cause I felt like it was something I wanted to say. Like I wanted to say it and it felt relevant, but something just wasn't right about it. Like something wasn't right. I know I wasn't going to be directing anything toward her. It was more like the opinions that might have been referenced in the show. But something just didn't feel right about the idea of responding to it. And I went back and forth and I was trying to figure this out, like how I could spin this, you know, to make it make sense. And a few times I thought I had it figured out, but the more I thought about it, like I just was coming across as unnecessarily defensive or idyllic, maybe. I went back and forth so much about this that I ended up doing something that I don't do very often and I really need to get back to doing. So I guess it was a blessing in disguise, but I prayed, man. I prayed about this, man. Don't get it fucked up. Like, this is not the Power of Prayer podcast. I'm not trying to push, you know, that message today. I'm just kind of walking you through how I got to where my mind is at the moment. And it's funny because I prayed about that, and that was like the second time in a day that I had prayed. I hadn't prayed in forever. The first time I prayed today was earlier. I got some good news, some really good news. It was some positive financial news for me. And I don't know, it was like I got real emotional about it. It was like two things back to back. It was like one thing, you know, I got the news about one thing, and that like got me energized and up and out to bed on a Saturday morning, which is a miracle to begin with. And then I got the second, you know, piece of news. And trust me, it's nothing major. I'm still broke. But yeah, when I got that second piece of news, like I just got so emotional and overwhelmed. And let me explain the emotionalness. And I also just, I don't know, I'm trying to figure out something. I don't know if anybody else does this, but every day of my life, I live with the mental calculation of if I got fired today, how long would I be good? Like, how long before I need to panic? And that's like an everyday thing. I don't feel like I'm a bad employee. I probably am not going to get fired on those days. I can't remember the last time. I think I've only been fired once in my life, and that was for just like, I basically abandoned the job and then I got fired. But I live with like, my mind is always like, how many months rent do I have? How many months bills do I have? How quickly could I get this certain money? What could I pull out of here? What could I do? And so I'm always living with that calculation. And if I ever get too close to the, like, if I lost my job, it would be a problem thing. Like, I start panicking. That gives me anxiety. And so the news today, it just gave me a little bit more of a cushion. It pushed that, you know, time I would have to panic a little bit further back. And that was it. But it got me, because with everything that's happened over the last few months, like, it was just such positive news, which I kind of needed, that it got me so emotional that as soon as I like got back in the house, I just, you know, I knelt down and prayed just out of gratitude, you know. It got me back in that mode of understanding that, you know, a power greater than myself has played a major role in how things are progressing for me right now. And so after that experience, you know, it left me with the thought, so why not, you know, tap back into that, you know, that power source, you know, to seek some guidance while I'm at the crossroad on this topic, you know. And that's how you got to do it. You got to hit them first with the, hey, man, I just appreciate everything that you've done. Man, you know, you always come through for me. I really appreciate it. Bottom of my heart, love you. You know, just want you to know. You got to hit them with that, and then you got to walk off. And then you can come back later and be like, hey, man, you know, if you got a second, I just wanted to pick your brain about, you know, and then you could come with the thing that you need. But just hit them first with the, you know, you just solid. You a solid person. I fucks with you for life. I just want you to know that. You a good dude. Like, that's how you got to do it. I'm just giving people advice for when they approach me with shit later. Like, can't be the same conversation. Give me one good one, walk off, and then you can come back later. Anyway, it's all jokes. Yeah, I prayed about it, and I think this is kind of where I'm at. I realized today, and I think I've been on this kick for a minute, like I've been building toward this. Like, I'm legitimately tired. And when I say tired, I mean like fatigued. Like, I'm tired of being like outraged and offended. Like, it's exhausting. It's too much. It's too much. You know, I wake up every day and it seems like it's something that you got to be angry about, or something that is offensive, or, you know, or just it coming to the light. I think these things always existed, but they didn't have a way of coming to the light the way they do now. And it's just, man, it's getting to me. It's to the point where I think like what happened with my friend's podcast is just my go-to reaction is just anger. It's just anger and wanting to bust back. And like, the moment I hear something that don't jive with me that I think is offensive, like, boom, I gotta do something. I gotta say something back. And I don't want to do that no more. I just don't want to do it no more. I'm fatigued. I'm tired. I don't want to, fuck up relationships by being in that mode, because I think you can do that. I think you can, you start speaking out of anger, you start speaking out of emotion, things can go left fast. So I don't want to do that no more. So I figured I gotta flip it. I gotta flip this emotion. I gotta flip this thing. I gotta take my outrage and turn it into inspiration. Like, thanks for pointing out the void over there, so I know where there's a need I can fill. Like, this is a good thing. So this week, my outrage came from what I like to call one of the good ones syndrome. I had this Black Star clip all queued up for this, because this was going to be the theme of the entire episode, which is not going to be now, but I'm going to play it anyway because I spent the time already.
Not compassionate, only polite, be well trained. Our sincerity's rehearsed the stage, it's just a game. Not good, but we'll behave because the camera surveyed most of the things that we think, do or say.
But anyway, I mean, that's how I view it. Like, we have this influx of people, and maybe I'm just becoming aware of it now because I'm in this angry mode all the fucking time. But we got this thing where we, like, point out the wrongs of people in our own groups, like in our own demographics and groups, and people that we could probably affect another way. But we have this thing where we like pointing it out, and pointing it out publicly in a way that, to me, is not, I want to fix this or make it better or solve it. But it's just a way to, like, paint ourselves as one of the good ones. Like, I ain't like them. Matter of fact, I could tell you everything that's wrong with them. Or better yet, I can agree with you on what you already think is wrong with them.
Don't you trust them new niggas over there.
That's the way it comes across to me. Like, I don't know. I was having a conversation with one of my white friends the other day. Good dude. A Trump supporter, but a good dude, don't get me wrong. For some reason, we got in a conversation about, like, poverty and homelessness, and I was telling him a little of my homeless story, and by the end of the conversation, I got the sense that in his mind, like, the progress I've made over the last couple years was proof that a lot of people didn't have an excuse for whatever state that we're in. Like, look at me. Like, I think he was looking at me as like one of the good ones. And, like, I don't know. I'm definitely oversimplifying it. Like, I don't want to pay him in that light. But I do think that part of the conversation was going that way. Like, look at you. Look, these other people just not doing anything. I don't feel like that attitude fixes anything. It doesn't fix anything. It just points out a problem, whatever. And I see that so many places. Like, we've seen, the Candace Owens and the Jason Whitlocks out there. What was that dude's name that had all that to say about, like, black men and relationships? And then he had to do a video with his wife about him cheating. I don't know. I can't remember his name. Good job, folks, because I done forgot his name. That's exactly what we should be doing. But I see a lot of that. And I'm just saying, I don't think it's effective if your goal is to persuade people to think or act differently. Like, telling people that they're stupid, telling people that they're sheep, telling people that they just, that almost as if to make it to seem to be them is inherently wrong, and they need to strive to be something different than what they are, which is what you are. Because this is really, to me, specific to situations where it's coming from people in that group, and it's being done, publicly, making it seem as if, like, you policing yourself, but it's just not how it comes across to me. I don't think it's effective. I don't think it's going to work. It causes division in my mind, and it doesn't cause people to change. At least it didn't for me. Like, so to make this personal and bring it back to I statements, when I was drinking, I was a piece of shit. Like, Like, no, we don't got to sugarcoat it at all. I was 100% a piece of shit. I feel like I'm a good person, and there was a good person in there, but when I was drinking, I was a piece of shit. Like, the lying I did and the decisions I made, like, I could really tell you some stories that, and I'm going to tell you one because that's what I do here, but I could tell you, you know, anyway. But now, when I was married, right, I never cheated on my wife, you know. Technically, I respected our relationship. I never stepped outside the bounds of our relationship with another woman, anybody. Like, I never cheated on her in that sense. But you could really look at the relationship I had with alcohol as very much like cheating. I even used to take my ring off when I'd sneak out to bed in the middle of the night to get something to drink because I didn't want it to clink on the bottle. Like, and it didn't hit me until, like, I had gotten past a lot of that. That, man, like, I was taking my ring off. Like, it was, you know, like, the symbolism in that. But anyway, this one particular situation, because I worked very hard to try to keep my my relationship with alcohol a secret, you know, almost like an affair. And, you know, it got to the point where I went straight shaggy on her. Like, it wasn't me. Like, I'm going to die with the lie type situation. Like, I used to have this aluminum water bottle, and I fill it with vodka, you know, so I wouldn't have a vodka bottle in the house. I just had this water bottle, which is perfectly normal. People have water bottles. And so that was my way, you know, of having my stash, you know, inconspicuously. But at one particular night, I hid it behind the bed for some dumbass reason. Like, you don't make great decisions when you're drunk. If it was supposed to be inconspicuous, like, a water bottle out in the open is not suspicious. A water bottle behind the bed is all of a sudden a huge red flag. So I don't know what the fuck I was thinking. But I hid it behind the bed for whatever reason. And, you know, one morning she came and she approached me about it. You know, and she wanted to know, you know, what was in it. And I was like, man, you know, it's a water bottle. It's water. And she's like, you know, why is it behind the bed? I'm like, it fell back there or something. I don't know. Like, you know, just anything that might be plausible. Like, that's how it ended up back there. She really wasn't buying it. So she took it to the next step. She unscrewed the cap. I knew it was empty, so I wasn't really worried about it. But, you know, she unscrewed the cap, and she took a smell from the bottle. She's like, man, this don't smell like water. And me, you know, living with a lie, straight face. Man, give it here. Let me smell it. Man, ain't nothing wrong with this. You know, I don't smell like nothing. If anything, it smell metallic, like the container. And that's a red flag for lying right there. Anytime a person, like, comes up with additional corroborating evidence to fit their story, because if it's the truth, you don't really have to do that, because the truth is just the truth. But a lie, you need to find as much evidence to back the lie as possible to make the lie seem real. So just, you know, letting you know. I did a whole episode about lying too. You check it out. but she, you know, she was trying to get me, and she took it a step further. So she turned the water bottle upside down, waited for a drop to come out, put it on the finger, tasted it. And she's like, this don't taste like water. And once again, with a straight face, I grabbed the bottle. I'm like, man, give me this, man. You know, turned it upside down, got a drip, you know, two on my finger, put it on my tongue, making sure I didn't make a face or anything like that. It was 100 proof vodka. You know, it stung a little bit, you know. But I went through all those. I went through all that performance, and, you know, it's like, nah, it tastes like water to me. And I held on to that lie, you know, forever. Like, I held on to that lie through counseling sessions, you know, through everything. Like, I think it was getting to the point that, like, I was gaslighting my wife. Like, I was making her feel like she might be crazy, you know, because she sat there and she tasted what was in that bottle and knows it wasn't water, but I'm not bending at all. And I know that I'm lying. I know that, you know, she's probably feeling crazy right now. But I did that stuff. So, like, I knew who I was. I knew that I wasn't who I wanted to be. And I knew I was a piece of shit, basically. Well aware of it. And it was really part of the reason that I drank, like, to numb the guilt and the shame from all that. It was a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, not a self-fulfilling prophecy. It was a self-sustaining cycle. Like, I drank, so I got depressed, and I was depressed, so I drank, and you know, and that's just what it was. And I say all that to say that, like, in that situation, I know I'm a piece of shit, and all of the people that tried to reach out to me by showing me how far I've fallen, you know, by expressing, you know, their disdain for what I was doing, you know, to my wife, if they're my wife's friends or her family or my mother or whatever, anybody that was trying to come to me and in the sense of what you're doing is fucked up and look at you and what's wrong with you and that kind of thing, that none of that was going to work. Even losing things, losing jobs, losing my marriage, you know, none of that was going to work. None of that started what's been going on for the last 1,002 days. Like, you won't win converts by going down to the corner and telling people how pathetic their lives are. Like, it don't work like that. What finally did it for me was a different kind of approach. I mean, I don't know how you feel about 12-step programs, but to me, one of the cool things about them is that if you look at the 12 steps, only one mentions, like, that dark cloud hanging over your head. It's never brought up again. They don't spend time pouring energy into what not to do. You know, it's all about what you can do differently. It's like, if I tell you right now, don't think about a pink elephant, fuck you thinking about? And if I tell you, you stupid motherfuckers will just sit around here thinking about pink elephants all day, now you're thinking about it, and you might not feel guilty about it because now I triggered your defensiveness. Now you're doing it defiantly. Call me a stupid motherfucker, I'm still thinking about pink elephants. You know, you might be doing it in an effort to prove me wrong about the harm of pink elephants. Like, ain't nothing wrong with pink elephants. I could think about pink elephants, still be a cool dude. It's a metaphor, people. I'ma stop saying pink elephants. But maybe for some of you, you might be, you know, for some people, not the pink elephant situation, but for some people, it might even get to the point where, you know, it's like, well, this is what they think of me anyway. This is what they think I'm going to do anyway. This is what they're telling me I am anyway. So, fuck it. Like, when I fall, I don't even feel bad about it. When I fuck up, I don't feel bad about it because I was destined to, according to them. And I'm not excusing the behavior. I'm not excusing the behavior. The behavior is bad. I was a piece of shit. There's no excuse for what I did. What I'm trying to get across with all of this is that if your goal is to change the behavior, is to change people's hearts and minds, then going about it from that approach, you know, maybe you may be working against yourself. What changed things for me, what turned things around for me, was seeing people just in the same situation that I was in that had something that I wanted, man. They were happy. They had found peace. Their lives were stable and fulfilling. And they weren't better than me. They weren't sitting around telling me, you know what, you need to get stronger and get like me. You need to change your life and be a better person and get like me. It was just like, I am you. And because I am you, I can show you some things that you could do to get to the place that I know you want to be. And so I was around people that were me. That were absolutely me, you know, and they had what I wanted and could show me a way to get there. And then wouldn't or couldn't judge me because no matter what I said, they could match it or do me one better on anything. Any story I could throw, they had a worse one. And so we could sit around and we could laugh about it. But the whole point was it was attraction. It was attraction. Let me show you what you want. And let me show you a way to get there. I'm not going to talk about how fucked up you are or if you're fucked up or what the fuck is wrong with you. I'm just going to talk about how to make things right and make right look good and it look damn good. And that's why I've been pushing for 1,002 days, one day at a time, to try to have some of that. And it reminds me a lot of the Jersey fiasco with Chef Elise.
Out of Pepe.
I'm going to hit that every time from now on. Just want you to know. Like, you know, down talking to Giants or getting angry or making it an us versus thing, us versus them thing. Like, that, all that stuff would have only made it worse. Yeah, it would only made it worse. The only thing I could really do, the only thing that really would have been effective for me was, you know, showing her how happy it made me when she put the Washington football team shirt on. Getting her a hat that I knew she would like with the little pigtails. And she was happy to put it on. Getting myself a jersey with the same colors so she could see she was on the same team with that. It was just making the behavior that I wanted to see out of her look attractive. It was never addressing the shit that I didn't like or talking down or getting angry or any of that. You know, it's not, you pour your energy into the negativity, you get more negativity. I'm seeing that. I really am seeing that. And I'm trying to do something different. I don't know. By the way, I think the Giants Washington thing is still an ongoing battle. I believe it is. I'm just waiting for the next shot to be fired. I'll let y'all know. But I'm strategizing behind the scenes. I'm going to be ready. But anyway. So, yeah, all this brought me to bring it back to our statements again. That if I don't like the attention being given to negativity, if I don't like the finger pointing, if I don't like the one of the good ones syndrome, you know, the comments I hear frequently, if I don't like these things, then I don't know. I need to recognize that as a void of positivity that possibly I could be a part of the movement to fill. Be the change that I want to see and make it look sexy while I'm at it. I feel like I could do it. And I think that's the lesson in all this for me, is why get mad? That's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to be something different, to show a different side, to express your perspective. Maybe that's, you know, evidence that my perspective is needed. And I think that's how I'm going to look at it from now on. I'm going to try to, at least. I'm going to try. See if I can get to 1,002 days of that. Good luck. I feel like that's far more difficult. Far, far more difficult. But yeah, man, I don't know. Like, yeah, on the make it look sexy thing, I feel like nobody asked me this, but I think I'm gonna start doing more like videos and pictures and stuff like that. I think like the whole idea of like what is CWS just being this logo and this person, you know. I think I got a picture of myself on my personal page in the dark or some shit, and I got a caricature of myself that I use occasionally. But like, I see other people's podcasts and y'all, and they see y'all, and they like, maybe they feel like they know y'all or something like that. Or, and fuck it, I think I look damn good for 40, and I need to get back out there. So I'm gonna start dropping these pics. Start dropping these thirst traps. Nah, I can't do it unless y'all really into dad bods, which I don't believe you are. Maybe I'll make you prove it. I don't know, but I feel like that shit is holding me back. I'm trying to floss a little bit from my black don't crack youthfulness, my youthfulness. We'll see how that works out. But anyway, that's what I came up with this week after praying. That's where I landed. I don't know if all that had a point to it or if it was meaningful to you in any way. But that's what was on my heart. Thanks for letting me share. With that said, I always want to shout out my boy, Zaya Fitness. Hit up his website, livealphafitness.com. That's live with no E, livealphafitness.com. I don't think he knows. I know, but I seen the post, and I think he's going to compete in like a bodybuilding competition. That's how fit this dude is. So I'm trying to tell you, he can get you where you need to be. He's some months out. I ain't going to say how many months. I ain't going to put all his business on Front Street, even though it's on Instagram. But anyway, hit up his website, livealphafitness.com. He can get you where you want to be on your fitness and nutrition goals. So definitely hit him out. Hit him up. Good dude. As always, if you're looking for ways to be impactful, if you're looking for ways to be one of, not one of the good ones, you can hit up ttcharities.org, Tavares Taylor Charities. You know, They always got something good going on. Donate what you can, time, money, books, clothing, a like, a repost, a retweet. It all goes a long way. TTCharities.org. Hit it up. And as always, I got my merch. Help me send Sheffy Lee's
out of Pepe
to Disney World, Disneyland, one of them joints or something else. Fly, I don't know. We need to do something big. But hit up whatistws.com. And you can hit the link for merch at the top. And it is hoodie season. So coupon code HOODIESZN, hoodie season, will get you 20% off your entire order of outerwear or long sleeve winter, like hoodie season shit. Long sleeve t-shirts and hats and hoodies and sweatshirts, stuff like that. The t-shirts is not on sale right now. Maybe later. We're going to go back to the summer of the algorithm or the spring of something. I'll come up with something then. But right now it's hoodie season. Go get you some hoodies, 20% off. That's all I got. I thought about doing, I don't know, I ain't going to talk about what I thought about doing, because that doesn't make sense. I feel good about this one. I scripted this one, wrote this one down. You can let me know if you can hear me read. But other than that, until we speak again, be safe, be light, be easy, and know this, if you know nothing else, I love you. Holla.
Last call for alcohol. Yeah. If this is it, like if this is the last joint, if this is the last hurrah, it's the last call for alcohol, baby. I gotta say, whether you knew it or not, it's pretty much at the finest bar establishment, the finest spirits and libations y'all could have had, baby. You might realize it now, you might have realized it back then, you might realize it later.
Love.